What is truth? Somebody asked that question in the Bible somewhere, didn't he? When Jesus was on trial. Somebody asked that question. What is truth? I want to talk about truth. When we go into court, we have to promise that we're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, okay? Truth is an important subject. And truth is reality. Truth is what is real. And sometimes truth is pretty hard. Sometimes we'd rather just sugarcoat it a little bit and not deal with the truth. But truth is reality. It is what really does exist. I want us to look at, I think, seven passages of scriptures that talk about truth. And I really like the one in John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Jesus was speaking to people who believed him, who believed in him. And that's kind of like a requirement. This is not a command in this passage that we do that, but it's an example of people who were believing in Jesus. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him. So he's talking to believers. And I believe we can take it and apply it to us because we're believers, aren't we? We're not Jews, but we're believers. Well, most of us are not Jews. Some of us are Jews, but most of us are not Jews. But we are believers, and he was speaking to believers. And what was the if clause? What did he say? If you continue in my word. If you continue in my word. It's very depressing to be a preacher who promotes Bible study and Bible reading and all that stuff and then read statistics about Christians who don't ever read the Bible, don't ever study the Bible. And the statistics are going down worse and worse. It's still the best-selling book there is. So everybody buys it, but nobody reads it. You know. Jesus said, if you continue in my word. I believe every Christian should be a Bible student. I believe every Christian should be a Bible student. Now, I understand because of our personality differences and our giftedness differences that not everybody will study to the same level. You're naturally talented. Either you're a things person or a people person or information person. Everybody with me on that? You're a things person or a people person or information person. And if you are an information person, you're going to just study more normally. You read more and you study more. You like to do that. If you are a people person or a things person, it is more difficult to make yourself study the Bible. So we don't expect those kind of people to study as much, but they still should study some. Every Christian should be a Bible student. Every Christian should study the Bible. We do that in Sunday school. We study the Bible. And you ought to do that at home. It ought to be a normal part of your life that you study the Bible. Don't get in the trap of comparing yourself with somebody else and say, "Well, I don't study as much as so-and-so." That's not the issue. The issue is, do you study some? You study sometimes. You study some of the Bible. And find some way that will work for you. Right now, I'm thinking about 2014, that we spend the first 6 or 8 weeks studying one book of the Bible. Usually every year I try to get people to read the whole Bible. That's what I do most years, try to get you to read the whole Bible. And a lot of people start that, very few people finish it. Because it gets kind of boring, okay? some parts of numbers. Numbers, they're taking census. And you're reading about how many tribe, how many this tribe, how many that tribe, and you just get kind of bored. And you can't read the names and stuff. So I'm thinking about, hadn't decided for sure, I'm thinking about in January and February, finding a book in the New Testament, 4 or 5 chapters, and we just concentrate on that one book and ask you to read it over and over and over and over and over and over. In fact, may ask you to read it over aloud. Just read it out loud. And the reason you would read it out loud is because not only does it go through the eye gate, it goes through the mouth gate and the ear gate if I read it out loud. Now, somebody hear you reading out loud, they think you're crazy. You know, it's a good way to study the Bible. And repeated reading, I've always suggested you need to read the Bible, a certain passage of it, over and over and over and over and over. And I practiced this week. I've read the book of Philippians out loud 3 times since Thursday. It's 4 chapters. I just read it out loud to see how did this work. You know what I found out? I can't read as good as I used to. I thought I could do pretty good, but I found that out. But anyway, I think every Christian should be a Bible student, because Jesus said to believers, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, if you continue to learn about me, then what? The if-then part. If you continue what? Tell me. You're truly disciples of mine. What is a disciple? Follower of Christ. What's another word for disciple? Learner. What's another word for disciple? Okay, that's... The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, Acts 11:26. Let's go back and... If you got a definition of a word, you can put the definition in, right? The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, so disciple and Christian, same thing. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you're truly Christians. Then you're truly Christians. If I continue his word, then I'm truly Christians. What if I don't continue in his word? Uh-oh. You don't got to judge him now. But anyway... Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples, truly Christians. And if I do that, if I'm a believer in Jesus and I continue in his word, then I'm a true Christian, a true disciple, and I will know the truth, and the truth will do what? Make me free. So I've got to be a believer, got to believe in Jesus, and I got to continue in his word. I need to continue to study and learn his word. And as a result, I'm a true Christian. And as a result of that, I will know the truth. And the truth will make me free. The truth will make me free. In our day, many, many out in the world, and quite a few within the church, would change truth for tolerance. If I'm tolerant, then I would be free. I'm tolerant of everybody, of everything. Anything you believe and anything you do is okay. What's true for you may be true for you, but it may not be true for me. There's no objective truth. And we see more and more of that in the world, that what you believe is okay, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean what I believe. But there is absolute truth. There are some things that are just absolutely true. And it is true for you, and it is true for me, and it is true for everybody else, and it doesn't change if you have a different opinion. It doesn't make any difference. Some things are absolutely true. But it's so much nicer to be tolerant. It's so much nicer to be tolerant. I mean, it's okay if you believe something else. That's all right. We'll deal with that again in a few minutes. Okay. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 14:6. Who's speaking? Jesus. First word. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, I believe that passage to be absolute truth. Jesus said it. It is absolutely the truth. You know what happens if you go around telling people that? You are so intolerant. You are so arrogant to think your religion is the only one that's right. How about the people on the other side of the world? How about the people who are Muslims? How about the people who are Buddhists? Or the people who follow Confucius? Or people, all those other people. What about them people? You know what Jesus said? I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's the truth. And what I believe about it has nothing to do with whether it's true or not. I can believe, I could really be convinced that I'm 6'5". The fact is I'm 5'6". Okay. And if I could, if I was absolutely sure, if I really believe, I mean, honestly, sincerely believe I was 6'5", would it change anything? It wouldn't change anything except they may put me in some kind of loony bin or something. But other than that, it wouldn't change one thing. I could believe it. I could want to believe it. I could say, well, you know, Lee, I believe in positive thinking. So I'm just going to think positive about being 6'5". The fact is, I'm 5'6", and most likely as I get older, I'm going to be shorter than that. So somebody comes up and says, well, Lee, I don't believe this. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I don't believe it. Okay? Doesn't change it. Doesn't change one iota. Doesn't change anything. That is the truth. And it is the truth no matter what you believe and no matter who says it's not true. Everybody can say it's not true. I mean, we in the polls today, every time I look at TV, somebody done took a poll about some political deal. And so if 65% of the people believe something to be true, then I should believe it's true. No, there are some things that are true. If 99% of them believe it's not true, it's still true. Taking a poll don't make any difference. What I believe or what you believe doesn't make any difference. I had somebody get mad with me one time and leave my church because I said it didn't make any difference what your grandmama believed. And she said I was saying something against her grandmama. I wasn't saying anything against her grandmama. I didn't even know her grandmother. I hardly knew her. But she left my church because I said that didn't make any difference. The fact is, if it is true, it is true, period. It is true. Whatever is true, is true. And this statement is true. There's only one way to God, and that's Jesus. That's it. That's all. That is no other way. And that's the truth. And for me to say I'm 6'5" and really believe I'm 6'5" and tell everybody I'm 6'5" and put that on my driving license, and any time I had to fill it out, how tall I am, I'm 6'5". I go to my doctor and said, you got that thing wrong. I'm 6'5". I'm not 5'6". It's not going to change it. And for me to say this is, I believe different than this, it's not going to change it. It is still true that Jesus is the only way to God. How do I know that's true? That's what Jesus said. That's what he said. So that's the truth. Now we're going to talk about in a minute that I shouldn't have said this in the way that I said it, okay? But I still should have said it, just not in the way that I said it. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So Jesus said in John 8, if you believe and you continue in my word, you're true disciples and you'll know the truth, and truth will make you free. John 14:6, he said he was the truth. And very interesting, he didn't say I speak the truth, he said he was the truth. right? He was the truth. John 17, 17, this is the true Lord's Prayer. I know I confused some of you by saying that because Jesus gave an example, a model on how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A model on how to pray. And we've come to call that the Lord's Prayer. And I know everybody does that. But Jesus wasn't really praying. He was just giving an example of how you pray. Well, John 17 is a prayer that Jesus prayed. This really is the Lord's Prayer. He really prayed this prayer. And he was praying for his disciples. And one of the things he said about his disciples was, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus said, I am the truth. And Jesus said, God's word is the truth. So if I believe in Jesus and continue his word, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to know the truth, right? And what's going to happen as a result of knowing the truth? I'm going to be free. So remember that as we go along. Jesus is the truth and his word is the truth. Okay. John 4:24. God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. I really think we need to spend more time studying worship and how we should worship and what's involved in worship. And I think one of the problems we have is that that we think what Hartley and Lee and Linda does, that's worship. He leads the singing and I preach and Linda plays the piano. But worship happens within you. We can't make that happen within you. We can try to guide that and hope that happens within you. But the fact is, worship has to come from you. You have to worship in your spirit. And you can sit in the pew and go through the rituals and still not worship. You can do all the outward things, just like you're supposed to do. Someone says worship is prayer, praise, and proclamation. Prayer, praise, and proclamation. But you can set through the prayers and not be a part of the prayer. You can be thinking about what you're going to have for lunch. How many of you were doing that while I was praying? No, don't. You can be thinking about what you're going to have for lunch. You can be thinking about, you know, what you wish you were doing instead of being here. So you can be here and go through the motions and not worship. You have to worship with your spirit. You have to worship with your spirit. It's something that happens within you. And those of us who plan the worship service hope that we help you, that we set the stage and the circumstances are right so that you can worship. But we can't make it happen. It has to happen within you. You are the one who has to worship. So we're to worship in spirit and what else? What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm going to worship in truth. Well, let me just give you one example. Jesus commanded us to partake of the Lord's Supper, and the New Testament sets an example of the churches doing it together. And then the Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So we got truth from the Scriptures that we partake of communion, and we know that's a part of worship. Everybody with me? That's not all of worship, but that's a part of worship. That we partake of communion as a group and as a body. And the Bible says, a part of the truth that it reveals, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So I need to come together and worship with other Christians that includes the Lord's Supper. Stay with me. Don't jump the track yet. But I believe that I could just go fishing and worship butter. I don't have to go to church. I can just go out on the lake, be in my boat, and I can really worship out there. Just me and God and nature. And the fact is, it may be that I could worship out there. But if I use that as a replacement for this, then I'm not worshiping according to truth. I need to worship in spirit, what's in me, and I need to worship in truth. And part of the truth is I need to gather together with other Christians to worship. I need to gather together with other Christians to partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, I happen to think that I can partake of the Lord's Supper by myself. But I need to be very, very careful, because it is hard to divide the physical body of Christ from the spiritual body of Christ. And the spiritual body of Christ is what? The church. And so the Bible says I need to discern the body. Think that means I need to think about Jesus. But it possibly could mean I need to discern and be aware of other Christians who are partaking it with me. Acts 2:42 says, and they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So if I'm going to worship in spirit and in truth, that means I got to worship according to what the Scripture says on how I worship, and I've got to worship from within me. And what he said was, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Not just spirit and not just truth. Because if we're doing all the right things here at Smyrna Christian Church, if we're all doing all the right truths according to the Scriptures on how you worship, and you come in and you don't worship with your spirit, then you still didn't do it. You got to worship in spirit and in truth. Truth is very, very important. Truth is very, very important. Jesus said you're going to know the truth. Truth is going to make you free. We need to worship in spirit and in truth. Look at the next passage, Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. I talked about last week, I think, that some passages are difficult to understand. And there are. There are a lot of Bible passages difficult to understand. I don't know what they mean. You ever studied Ezekiel and all those wheels in Ezekiel? I don't know what they mean. I don't know. You know, so there are a lot of passages in the Bible that's difficult. And what I said last week was that it used to bother me what I didn't understand. What bothers me now is what I do understand. And this passage is not hard to understand. This passage said, tell the truth. Don't lie. Just tell the truth. That's not hard to understand, is it? But sometimes we back ourselves in a corner and it is hard to do. I mean, sometimes, you know, and sometimes if I would tell just a small lie, I would get out of a lot of trouble. And so I'm tempted to do that. Just lie about it. Nobody will ever know. Just lie about it. No, the Scripture says, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Just tell the truth. Tell the truth. Don't have to be smart to understand it. You could have dropped out of grammar school and still understand it. You know, and you don't have to be very educated. Just tell the truth. The truth is reality. That's what's true. And what is true? I'm 5'6". I'm not 6'5". He said that's a silly illustration, but the fact is, some people. I've known people who told lies when the truth would have been better. They're habitual liars, whatever you call it. I don't know what you call it, but they just seemed like they couldn't help it. They'd just tell a lie. And you said, why would you say that? You would have been better off had you told the truth. The Bible says, tell the truth. Always tell the truth. Now, Ephesians 4:15, I was hoping I was going to run out of time before I got here. Some of you say, well, you can just quit, it'll be okay. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth, what's the next two words? But speaking the truth in love. We're to grow up in all aspects into him who's ahead, even Christ. as you deal with Christians, you realize that it is possible to run off the road on either side. It is possible to run off the road on either side. If I'm driving a car, I can run off on the right, or I can run off on the left. If I'm being a Christian, I can run off on the right, or I can run off on the left. It is possible to run off too far on the truth. You say, how can you possibly run off too far on the truth if you speak the truth without love? If you speak the truth without love, you've gone off the road. You need to speak the truth in love. Now, the biggest problem most of Christianity has is that they run off the road on the other side and they want to love everybody. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. They don't want to make anybody mad. So we just love everybody. And anything you believe and anything you do, it's all okay. But it's not all okay. So I need to speak the truth, and I need to speak it how? In love. What does that mean, I need to speak the truth in love? You see, most of the time when I become convinced that I need to speak the truth in love, then I stop speaking the truth. In other words, there are a lot of Christians. I looked at about 15 minutes of a debate this past week that on between evolution and creation. There are a lot of people who believe in evolution. So if I'm going to be loving, I shouldn't teach creation. That's not very loving. Those people believe in evolution. So what have I done? I've held on to the love part and forgot the truth part. When I was growing up, there were certain preachers that I liked, and to tell you the truth, some of them were Christian church preachers and some of them were Baptist preachers that I liked. But some of those preachers would preach about hell with the attitude that if you don't straighten up, you're going straight to hell, and I'm glad you are. And I mean, that was the attitude. Now, the fact is that they need to tell the truth, but they need to do it with an attitude of love. And I feel like, well, I shouldn't say I feel like, because I don't feel like, but I've had people tell me that I speak the truth, but I don't speak it in love. I thought I did, but they said I didn't. They said I was not very loving at the things that I said. And so that's the reason I suggested a while ago that I'd said the right thing, but I said it in the wrong way. And so that's one of the areas that I need to work on. I don't think I need to work on actually the facts, speaking the truth in love. I think I'm doing that. If I tell a person Jesus is the only way to heaven, Jesus is the only way to heaven, I think the very fact that I told them that there's only one way is love. But it may not have come across as love. I thought I was loving them because I was telling them the truth. If I saw a person going down the road and the road had washed out, had gone away, that happens sometimes, don't it? Just the whole thing's gone. And I knew it was true down here, and I stopped him and said, don't go. I think that's love. How about if I scream at him and holler at him, don't go there. Don't go. Stop. So that's not very loving. I think it is very, very loving. I may have just saved his life. So I need to speak the truth in love, but I do need to work on my attitude. And the next verse makes it worse. Proverbs says, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Truth and kindness. I used to say years ago that if I had a physical problem, what I wanted was doctors and nurses that would know what they were doing. I don't care whether they got good bedside manners or not. Don't make any difference to me. I just want them to know what they're doing. That's all I care about. You just give me a doctor and a nurse that know what they're doing. It's going to help me with my physical problem. Once I met two or three that didn't have any kindness, I changed my mind. I want them to know what they're doing and be kind, okay? You know, in 2008, when I had my back problem, and they sent me to a surgeon, the nurse came in and asked all these questions and figured out all this stuff and took these x-rays and all that stuff. And the doctor came in and said, you need to have surgery. You're going to be in the hospital? You're going to be in the hospital for 6 days? You're going to be in a back brace for 6 weeks? And you're going to have to learn how to do everything over. You got any questions? I didn't have any questions. I just had one command. Nope, not going to do that. And my problem was, I just didn't like to. I mean, he was talking to me about six days in the hospital. I've never been 6 days in the hospital. I was in the hospital one time 3 days. I visited people in the hospital. I don't like it. I don't like it. So he's going to be in the hospital 6 days. Going to be in a brace, back brace for 6 weeks. I've seen people in back brace. I don't like it. And the doctor had not one iota of kindness and caring about that. He just told me like I was another hog in the line to be slaughtered, you know. and so I changed my mind. I want them to know what they're doing and have some kindness. You ever been around a nurse that knows what she's doing and can be kind at the same time? You know, this is going to hurt a little bit when I put this out here. This is going to hurt a little bit, so get ready. Some of them come in and said, "You're a big boy, just take it, brother." Ouch. You know? So, as Christians, we need to tell the truth and be kind as we do it. Years ago, I read a book. The book was on leadership, but I don't remember very much about the book. But I remember the title of the book and the basic principle that a good Christian leader was like a velvet-covered brick. A good Christian leader was like a velvet-covered brick. The idea was there's solid truth there, but it don't feel so rough. And sometimes I've been accused of being rough around the edges. In fact, my own home preacher, who was probably primarily responsible for me becoming a Christian, along with my mother, but he had a lot of influence in my life becoming a Christian. He had a lot of influence in my life becoming going into ministry. He married Linda and I, and one of my favorite people. And he'd always tell me that you're a diamond in the rough. You need to be polished. You need to be polished up a little bit. You need to get some of the rough edges off. And sometimes I think maybe I didn't do that. Maybe I need a little more polishing. But I don't want to change the fact that we talk about truth. But we need to tell the truth in love, and we need to tell the truth in tenderness, that I care about you and I care how this affects you. When I said, I don't forget what I was talking about. I think we were talking about baptism or whatever, that I didn't care what your grandmama said. maybe that was kind of insensitive. I shouldn't have said it that way. I was trying to make a point. My point was that we need to listen to the Bible instead of people, no matter who the people are. That I need to listen to the Bible instead of people, no matter who the people are. That was my point. But maybe I should have found a better way of saying it, a more tender way of saying it. And I listened to Bob Russell's sermon 2 weeks ago, and Bob Russell is one of my favorite preachers. And you need to know preachers don't have very many favorite preachers. Preachers don't have very many favorite preachers. Every time we hear somebody preach, we always say, I would have done it this way. I would have said it this way. But anyway, he's one of my favorite, and he was preaching on something that's controversial. And he took a stand and did it with such tenderness that he would not have offended anybody. I mean, he was talking about something that was controversial within the church, within and a thing that some people believe one way and some the other, and all of them are Christians. And he was able to do it with such tenderness. He took a stand. He was very firm in what he believed, but he was very nice and tender if you disagreed with him. And I said, man, I need to learn how to do that, you know. And so many people I've seen and try to do that, they change the truth. They sacrifice the truth because they don't want to offend anybody. We need to speak the truth in love. So Jesus was saying to those disciples who believed him, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We ought to spend our life seeking for the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Bible is the truth. And we ought to make sure we believe and teach the truth. Now, it is always a temptation, always, to just put my opinion is and think my opinion is the truth. You know, this is what I think, so that's the truth. And sometimes my opinion is wrong. You know, it's like the joke that I thought I'd made a mistake once, but I was wrong. You know, the person never made a mistake, never thought he's made a mistake, but he said, I thought I made a mistake once, but I was mistaken. So I need to search for the truth. I need to know what's the truth. The truth is there's only one way to heaven. It is hard to be loving to tell a person that that's the truth when they don't believe that's the truth. When they believe there are many ways. That all these religions are good and all of them okay. All of us going to heaven, we just look in different ways. It's hard. I talk to a lot of people and they won't tell me this word for word. But this is what they end up saying. I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in hell. I need to tell them the truth. I need to do it tenderly and in love, but I still need to tell them the truth, don't I? There is a heaven and there is a hell. We need to tell them the truth that Jesus is the only way of salvation. And boy, do you get in trouble when you do that. I mean, you get in all kinds of trouble. I mean, even Christians have told me, Lee, you shouldn't say that publicly. You shouldn't tell people that. That sounds so arrogant that you're the only one that's right. I'm not the only one that's right, but I want to tell you this. Jesus is right. Jesus is right. And every time that I'm with him, I'm right. Right? Every time I'm with him, I'm right. The truth. Sometimes the truth is harsh, but you and I should do our best to kind of smooth it out a little bit and put a little velvet over that brick so they will accept it better. If you're not a Christian, Jesus is the only way of salvation. You need to accept him as your personal Savior by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. I believe that's the truth from the scriptures.